It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Experience an indescribable encounter with God through the word preached by Reverend Dr. Peter Saki, a medical doctor by profession, called by God as an end-time apostle and prophet. He has been given the mandate to set captives free and deliver the oppressed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God's Word by Reverend Dr. Saki.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time. It's such a joy and an excitement to come your way again with the Word of God. We want to continue from where we ended last time. Without wasting much time, I want you to join your heart faith with me so that we will pray and go into the Word of God. Wherever you are, let us pray. Holy Father, we are ready for your Word. We ask that you open our hearts, grant us understanding. We receive grace to be doers of your Word, that we shall be fruitful in every good work. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to look at how we can plead our cases. It is very important that we learn to plead our cases. Now, what does it mean to plead your case? When there is an issue, or when there is a pending matter, or when there is something that is going in a certain direction in your life, or in your marriage, in your family, something that is related to you, for which reason you want God to intervene. Maybe there is a verdict concerning your life. Maybe something is going in a certain tangent. And you look at the course and the tangent of which your life is going. Maybe you have received a word. Maybe you've had a dream. Maybe you've had a vision. Maybe you look at your life and you realize that certain things are going in a certain way. And you don't like the way things are going. You've had a vision. You've had a dream. You've received a prophetic utterance, a prophetic word. Something concerning your life. Something about your life that you want to see a turn around. You want to see a change. You want to see God's intervention. Beloved, that is what it means to come and plead your case. We serve a God who is a loving God. We serve a God who says, come and let us reason together. So God is saying to his children, you can come to me and let us reason together. And you can plead your case. You can declare so that you will be justified. You can declare so that you will be acquitted. You can declare so that you will be discharged. So the word of God makes us understand that we can come to God on matters pertaining to our personal lives, matters pertaining to our loved ones, our families, and we can receive God's intervention, or we can receive a turnaround. I've always said, Isaac Newton said, he said, a body continues to be at its state of rest or of a uniform motion in a straight line unless an external force acts on it. Now, dearly beloved, the situation will not change until an external force acts upon it. Beloved, the situation will remain the same until we are able to apply the force of prayer. So Isaac Newton said, a body will continue to be at its state of rest of a uniform motion in a straight line unless an external force would act upon it. Beloved, there are certain verdicts we have received. Maybe we are coming from certain homes, certain families. We are linked to certain backgrounds. And beloved, there are certain pronouncements and certain judgments that have been passed. There are certain verdicts that awaits people from such backgrounds. And maybe the doctor has brought a report. Maybe you have had a certain dream. You've had a certain vision. Maybe there is something you have seen. There is something you have noticed. There is something you have observed. There is something you have heard, which applies to your life. Maybe you went to the hospital, you ran a test, and the doctor's report or the lab report is not favorable. There is a news you have received which is not favorable. There is an observation you have made concerning your life which is not favorable. There is something, a trend that has gone on in your background that has taken place, or that has gone on in your family in years gone by, and that trend seemed to be continuing. and you find yourself as part of the family, and you can see that trend is not good. Somebody said, I had a dream about you. The dream is not favorable. Somebody said, I had a vision about you. The vision is not favorable. Beloved, there may be some unfavorable circumstance. There may be some unfavorable situation in your life, in your family, in your home. It pertains to you. And I want you to understand that in prayer, we can turn things around. In prayer, we can change the course of events of things. In prayer, we can change the tangent along which something is traveling. In prayer, we can change the trajectory of our life, the trajectory of our families. We can turn things around. We can bring a halt, or we can bring a stop to something undesirable through our prayer lives. In prayer, we learn to exercise the authority which God has given to us through Christ Jesus. In prayer, we are able to exercise our authority. In prayers, we are able to bind and loose. To bind and loose means you allow and disallow. Beloved, anything you don't like, you don't watch. Anything you don't celebrate, you don't want to tolerate, you don't just look at it, you do something about it. And so I want you to look at the passage, how God's servant, or one of God's choicest servants and kings, was able to plead his own case. I want you to understand, God always wants us to come to him and reason things together with him. God does not make up his mind about a thing and says, that is it. Beloved, we can change things. We can change things. We can change things. The Bible makes us understand that we can change. God says we should come and reason together with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we want to look at a man who changed his life, changed the verdict of his life, changed a judgment, changed an unfavorable report into a favorable one. And I want you to come with me to Isaiah chapter 38. In Isaiah chapter 38, the word of God makes us to understand. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And he was sick unto death. Praise God. The Bible says, in those days, King Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. You know, there are sometimes people go through things and it brings them to the end of their lives. It brings them to the end of their strength. It brings them to the end of their glory. It brings them to the end of their journey. The Bible says King Hezekiah was sick, and this sickness was sickness unto death. Praise God. And the Bible says, and Isaiah the son of Amos came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee and in truth with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept. He cried before the Lord. You know, he came to God. You know, the word of the Lord came from Isaiah. Hezekiah did not challenge Isaiah. Hezekiah did not cry. Hezekiah did not say, Isaiah, go and talk to God about the situation for me. Hezekiah did not say, Isaiah, do something about it for me. He said, the Bible says he received the word from Isaiah. And when he received the word from Isaiah, he went to God. Beloved, you have received the word from a prophet. Beloved, the New Testament prophet is not the same as the Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of God resting upon them. In the Old Testament, you could not prophesy. You could not hear the voice of God. You could not see visions if you were not standing in the office of a prophet. In the Old Testament, the people who operated in offices, they were the priests who were anointed to offer sacraments. And the same people, the prophets, they were also anointed to stand in the office of a prophet and the king. So in the Old Testament, only three categories of people were anointed. And it was the king who were anointed to stand in the office of kings. And also the prophet who was anointed to stand in the office of a prophet to receive a message from God unto the people. Now these were prophets. The priest stands on behalf of the people unto God. And there also, we had in the Old Testament, we had kings. Kings were also anointed with oil to rule. And these were the three anointed offices in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament prophet was the one who had been anointed and was gifted in the revelational gifts to hear from God. The Holy Spirit rested upon the Old Testament prophets. You will read somewhere where he said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and the Lord took me to a faraway place, and my spirit within me was lifted. So in the Old Testament, it was only those who were anointed to stand in the office of a prophet who could actually hear and bring the word of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, the ordinary men who walked under the Old Testament were known as the lay people or the laity. These laities were not anointed to hear and receive a word from God. But in the New Testament, we have every Christian who is also received the Holy Ghost who lives in us. So by virtue of the Holy Spirit living in us and our relationship with God, in the Old Testament, every child of God can hear the voice of God. But also in the Old Testament, there are men and women who have been set apart to stand in the office of the prophet. And the grace of God in the revelational gift, which means the gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the gift of discernment of spirit is stronger upon them. So sometimes God may use them to confirm what he has already told us. So in the Old Testament, only those who were anointed prophets could hear the voice of God and bring the message from God. But under the New Testament prophet, there are prophets also. And these prophets, they have special grace upon their lives to operate in the revelational gifts. However, the children of God can also hear and see for themselves in the New Testament. But the New Testament prophet is supposed to give confirmation. It's supposed to give a confirmation, unlike the Old Testament prophets who were supposed to bring the word first hand. But the New Testament prophet, he will come and confirm what God has already told you, shown to you. So that's the difference. Now, in the Old Testament, this king called King Hezekiah, a man who we had already heard about, who stood in the gap for the people of Israel so that God delivered them from the hand of the Assyrians and the king of Assyria. This same man was confronted with a challenge. This time, it was a challenge which was pertaining to his own life, his own health. He was told he was going to die. And this report came from a prophet. A prophet of God came to this king and said, set your house in order, for you shall surely die. And he was sick. Beloved, he was sick. And this sickness was unto death. So he himself realized that he was sick. And the kind of sickness he had was a kind of sickness that was leading to death. It could be a terminal condition. And in addition, a prophet who was a seasoned prophet, a major prophet. In fact, Isaiah was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament who wrote the greatest number of books. So Isaiah is considered the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Now, Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said, set your house in order, for you shall surely die. I want you to understand something. Now, the man King Hezekiah was sick, and this sickness was a sickness unto death. And also, in addition to the sickness, which was a sickness unto death, he received a visit from a prophet, a prophet of God, a seasoned prophet of God, a genuine prophet of God. And this message and this visit from the prophet of God was not that of hope, was not a favorable one, was not that which was supposed to give him life. It was a message to say, set your house in order, for you shall surely die. In other words, a revelation has come. Not just a revelation from anybody. Beloved, we have a lot of people today who are proclaiming and claiming they are prophets. And anything they say, they just want it to happen. But this prophet said, set your house in order. And this was a credible prophet of God. In fact, he was so credible that every time he spoke, you knew something was happening or something was going to happen. And so Hezekiah took the word from this prophet. So he was sick, which was a sickness unto death. And also a report from a seasoned prophet had come to him. Now, I want you to understand that the situation you may find yourself in is not a hopeless one. The circumstance, the battle you are fighting is not a hopeless one. This was a man who was having a sickness unto death, a terminal sickness. And he received a visitation from a prophet. I want you to understand that, beloved, there is a situation pertaining in your life. There's a circumstance which is pertaining in your life this present moment. And it is so obvious. And you can see the trend. You can see the progress. You can see the prognosis. The prognosis of the disease. The prognosis of the condition. The prognosis of the predicament. The prognosis is the outcome of a condition. Whether it is favorable or not. We can say something has good prognosis or bad prognosis. When a medical doctor says a condition is of a bad prognosis, it means the outcome is not going to be favorable. It means the outcome is not going to be, that of hopeful. So Hezekiah had a condition with an unfavorable prognosis, a bad prognosis. And he also received a visitation from a prophet. In other words, the matter was concluded. Once God has settled it, so shall it be. Now listen carefully. Hezekiah did not say the matter was concluded. Hezekiah knew something. Now I want you to understand. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29. The Bible says the secret things belongs to God. The secret things belongs to God. But the things that are revealed belongs to us and our children. So the secret things belongs to God. But the things that are revealed belongs to us and our children. The secret things belongs to God. But the things that are revealed belongs to us and our children. The Bible says, and the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law. Now, the secret things belongs to God. But the things that are revealed belongs to us and our children. When the thing is not revealed, it is in the hands of God. Once the matter is revealed, we have to decide what we do with that matter. Beloved, the vision you have received, the dream you have received, the prophetic utterance you have received, it is now revealed. When it was not revealed, it was a secret. When it was not revealed, it belonged to God. But once it is revealed, it is no more a secret. You have had a dream. Somebody has had a dream about you. Somebody came to tell you about a vision. A prophet of God came to speak a word to you, a prophetic utterance. Beloved, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Beloved, it doesn't matter. The situation pertaining in your life. The Bible says that the ways of God, they are past finding out. Romans 11 verse 33. The ways of God, they are past finding out. And the word of God says, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. Beloved, there are great and mighty things. These great and mighty things are called the secret things. So there are secret things. And once they are revealed, they belong to us. But when they are not revealed, they belong to God. We have no control. There is nothing we can do about it. But I want you to understand, once a matter is revealed, it now belongs to you. It now belongs to you and your generation. When it is not revealed, it is a secret. But once it is revealed, it belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to your children. He said the secret things belongs to God. But the things that are revealed belongs to us and our children. When the thing is revealed, it doesn't matter. Beloved, when you have a vision, you have a dream, and it is not favorable, you must not accept it. Beloved, when it is not consistent with the word of God, when you don't like it based on the will of God, you can stand and reject. You can stand and cancel that dream. Every demonic dream, every dream, threat of death, premature death, every dream, threat of destruction from the enemy. Beloved, you must stand upon the word of God and reject it and fight it. If the dream is favorable, you pray and you allow it to come to pass. You enforce it. You pray through the revelation. You stand upon the word of God. You wage a good warfare through the prophecy, through the revelation. The secret things belongs to God. He said, call unto me and I would answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. When those great and mighty things are revealed, they belong to us. You will take the great and mighty things that are revealed. If they are not favorable, you will stand upon the word of God and deal with it. If they are favorable, you stand upon the word of God and pray through that it shall come to pass. When somebody speaks a word, you can say the person, I reject that word in the name of Jesus. I stand against that word. It shall not come to stand. It shall not happen. You can reject the vision. You can reject the dream. There are times somebody will say a word, a prophetic person. There are things already happening in your life and a prophetic word comes to confirm it and endorse it. Beloved, you can decide to accept it or reject it. It depends on what you do with it. It depends on what you do with it. In the case of King Hezekiah, King Hezekiah received the word from Isaiah. He went to God. He didn't want to die. He knew he didn't want to die. Listen, God will also give the request of his children. The Bible says he will do for his children what they ask for him. He says, come and let us reason together. You don't like the situation, you can change it. Jabez did not like the situation of his life. He changed it. Hannah did not like her situation. She changed it. You can change your situation through prayer. You stand upon the word of God. Every revelation, every dream, every prophetic utterance, you can stand upon the word of God and change it. You can change it. It's not like once it has been revealed, once it's been declared, once it's been spoken, that is it. It is not true. It is not true. I want you to understand that it is not true. You can change things. Things that you don't like, things that are not favorable, through the word of God, you can stand and change them. You gave up so soon. You listened to the devil so soon. You listened to men. Men told you there is no hope. Men told you there's nothing that could happen. There's nothing that can be done about it. But I came to tell you, we serve a God who can reverse the irreversible. We serve a God who can change things. He can turn our situations around. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can go into our past and fix our past mistakes, bring us into the present, bless us, and take us into the future and glorify His name in our lives. So Hezekiah went before God. He said, I don't want to die. He didn't want to die. They said, Hezekiah, set your house in order. And Hezekiah said, I don't want to die. And he went to God and he said, Lord, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And he cried and he wept. Now, let me tell you something. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. So if God does not delight in the death of the wicked, how much more the death of the righteous? David said, Lord, what benefit is my death to you? If I go into the grave, will I be able to praise you? Can the dead praise you? He says, you shall not die. You will live and declare the works of the Lord. David said, 118 verse 17, Psalm 118 verse 17. He said, I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. The Bible said, the number of your days you shall fulfill. The number of your days you shall fulfill. He said, in your way, said, the number of your days I shall fulfill. You shall not die. He said, with long life I will satisfy you. So we have the word of God which says that you shall not die, you will live. So any prophetic utterance, any revelation, any word of knowledge, word of wisdom, talking about death, hanging on your neck, hanging on your head, is not the will of God. He said, with long life he will satisfy you. He will show you his salvation. God's plan is for us that with long life he will satisfy us. So anything that wants to take your life before the time, anything that wants to clear your life, take out your light before the time, you can stand upon the word of God, beseech his mercies, ask him for his intervention, ask him for his mercies, that God will give you another chance. You can plead your case. It's not just about premature death, but it can be sicknesses and disease. They can tell you your sickness is at the terminal stage. It's at the terminal condition. There is nothing we can do about it. Bless God, there may be nothing men can do about it, but that does not mean there is nothing God, your God, can do about it. So you can stand. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let anybody tell you this is your end and you've got it to your end. Nothing good is going to come out of you. Beloved, I want you to understand. Don't listen to the words of the enemy. Don't give up. The family curse cannot stop you. The family ungodly covenant cannot stop you. You can change things around through prayer. You can come to God and plead your case. And that was exactly what Hezekiah did. He said, God, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Of what benefit is my death to you? Of what benefit is my sickness to you? It doesn't glorify you. It doesn't honor you. I want to live. I want to finish my assignment. I want to do what you have called me to do. He said, I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen.